Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Yen Young, the CEO and co-founder of How Do You Roll. And How Do You Roll, an aggressively expanding fast casual sushi franchise based in Austin, Texas, is expecting more than 10 locations open by the end of the year 2010. The franchise concept offers high-quality sushi at a reasonable price and is made within minutes. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And look for their new digital edition. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing fine this week. Marty, how are you?
Good, good. As always, it's been pretty busy, you know, but I guess that's a good thing. We had some technical problems last week, so I want to apologize to our listeners. You know, that was tough. It was a little nerve-wracking last couple minutes of that, be right before that show, you know. So, but we're going to have Beef O'Brady's on next week.
Next Thursday.
So it sounds like you had a busy weekend as well, Don, huh?
Yeah, it's my twins turned 6 last Friday, so we had a big birthday party with a bunch of kids, and you know, the kids that age, you know, you probably notice a little bit now, but they start talking about their birthday like a few months ahead of time. So,
sure,
so it's just a lot of pressure to get them some nice gifts and throw them a nice party.
Yeah, we had
a good time. It was a real nice day last Saturday. So, you know,
it's funny because we've had a lot of franchises that actually cater to that kind of situation too, Don. I don't know if I told you this. My wife and she's in this like mommy's club. They went to Bounce U last week, you know, and we've had them. I believe we had them on the show. You know, again, we've done so many.
Right, they're combined
point.
With Pump It Up. My twin's birthday party last year was at Bounce U, their fifth birthday.
Okay,
party.
That's right. I guess that's what made me think about that, you know. But, you know, I think we're thinking of doing his party this year at Bounce U as well, you know. So
that'll be a good party.
So,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So it's pretty interesting. But our last show, again, you're going to have to go back 2 weeks now, Don, to remember because a lot's happened in 2 weeks. But we met with Jerry Slover, the Vice President of Franchise Development for NextEnd Brands. And just as a reminder, NextEnd Brands includes a family of franchise opportunities that include the Athlete's Foot, which I know you're definitely familiar with, Shoebox New York, Great American Cookies, Maggie Moose, Marvel Slab, and also Pretzel Maker Pretzel Time. That's an interesting family of concepts, isn't it? And I thought Jerry did a good job in discussing all the opportunities. It's pretty tough when you have to discuss each one, you know?
Right. Yeah, I was surprised by how many different countries they're in. And as a matter of fact, there's news. NextEnd was just bought, as a matter of fact, just recently. So they have a new owner overall for NextEnd and all these brands. So hopefully that's going to continue to keep them going in the right direction.
Right, absolutely. You know, so again, we'll keep our eye on them. I think that was, you know, I was a little surprised too at how many countries they were in. You know, I love the story
right.
Jerry was talking about when he was going to, I think it was Kuwait. You know, and I guess he was a little nervous going to the Middle East. You know, and he gets off the plane and I think he sees like an athlete's foot as he's going down the escalator, and he felt at home. You know, and franchising does that sometimes. It makes you feel back at home again, you know.
I
told you that I had that experience when I was in St. Kitts for some time. You know, when I saw KFC, it just made me feel a little bit at home, you know. So,
when I travel around the country to the different franchise shows and meetings, I just, you know, I see franchises all over the place in the airports.
It's
in
amazing.
The malls,
well,
the
some
highway.
Of the strips, you know, as you're driving down. I mean, particularly in your area. You know, I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, we were, you know, driving down to the beach and, you know, just like on your Route 35s or 36s or Route 9, I mean, it just seems like franchise country, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just franchise after franchise after franchise. It just, it really is amazing, you know, and, you know, that's why the show is so important. If you look at the,
right,
what franchising has done in this country, I think at some point, and it's probably going to be soon, we'll probably have, I think we'll hit that number, 1 million franchises here
right.
in the United States. I think when we started the show, we were at 750,000 franchises here in the U.S., and I think
right.
we're slowly approaching that 1 million mark. So who knows? We might get there before the end of the year.
Well, I just visited another one this past Friday. I went out to Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, a little south of Philadelphia in eastern
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania, and met with the owners of a Slim and Fit personal weight loss franchise. We had Jamie Brankus on the show last
That's
year. He
show.
Was there. The store just opened. You know, Slim and Fit's going very well. That was interesting. First time myself seeing a Slim and Fit location. They were in a nice strip mall on a busy highway, and the owners are very
wonderful.
Excited to get the business going. Jamie, how he always is, was all hyped up and excited, and he wanted to start working me out there. I had to, you know, I had to leave. and it's like waking up the next day with all my muscles sore. So I had to, you know, walk away when I saw him working out.
You have to have high energy when you're with Jamie, that's for sure. You know, he's just, I mean, you even hear his enthusiasm over the phone. You know, he's just just a wonderful personality. And I'm so happy, you know, that they're doing so well. I think the one thing about their concept is that it's a very simple concept, if you think about it. You know,
right.
I think it's easy to duplicate, you know, from eastern Pennsylvania all the way to California. It's not a very difficult.
Well, that's what's happening
concept.
So far. There's one open in Tennessee, Arizona. There's a few in Alabama. So things are going well so far. And it's low overhead, low investment size. It's fused together the two programs, the weight loss and the fitness part of it. So we'll definitely be staying on top of that.
Yeah, we'll follow them. And we definitely got to have Jamie back again, you know, in either at the end of the year or, you know, 2011. You know, we'll bring him back to the show and just check out their growth, you know, over that one-year period of time. So pretty interesting.
Definitely.
So what do we got going on today? I know we have an interesting show today. This is kind of new for us in the almost 4 years we've been doing the show.
Right. Yan Young, CEO and co-founder of How Do You Roll franchise. It's a sushi franchise, food franchise based in Texas, and it looks like they have some good things going on with them so far. So we'll hear their story, Marty.
Right, yeah. This is the first sushi franchise that we've had on the radio show. We did have one of our earlier newsletters back, like, 5-6 years ago. I think we interviewed a sushi franchise as well, but I don't think we have any in our archives, so this should be interesting. And I'm a big fan of sushi. I know you're not. I know your wife is, you know. So
big fan.
Hopefully
hopefully
she's listening today.
Yeah. To be on the level, I don't know.
Some days I hope she isn't, you know. But I know you had an interesting article. I've actually had a couple of interesting ones that I wanted to try to get to that I think we were going to get to last week, and unfortunately we couldn't do that.
Yeah, here's an article through Buffalo News, Marty, Samantha Chrisman. When the job market hits the skids, employees start looking for a little more stability. Often their gaze lands on franchising. In New York, more than 430,000 people make their living owning franchises, according to a report by the IFA. And franchises employ a total of 842,000 people in New York.
Wow.
And that's about one out of every 10 jobs in the state of New York is a franchise-related job.
Wow, that's a great stat. You know, we should get up on the website.
More people are getting disillusioned with corporate America, and that's nothing new, says Joel Labava, our friend. He's the franchise king, a blogger, franchising consultant, and founder of Franchise Selection Specialist. But the longer people are out of work, the more open they are to getting into business for themselves. That was the case with Tammy and John Young of Tonawanda, New York. He had worked at Colorforms, a printing plant, Marty, for 20 years. But toward the end, he knew the company and the printing trade itself didn't have much life left. So he said, I really needed a job. I'd always looked at franchises. But when Jared, who's, of course, Subway spokesman, became popular, I really started looking at Subway. He said, I thought this could really work. It was something I could afford and that I would thought I could make money at. So in 2002, he put down $50,000 of his own money, got a small bank loan. He took the plunge, said it was never easy. In the beginning, he worked up to, a lot of hours per work. He's waking up working over 80 hours a week. And then he had some health issues. His wife was a stay-at-home mom. They had to adapt to it. He said the store was kind of not going that well, but I guess when the chain started their successful $5 footlong promotion, I guess it really got things moving a little bit with their location.
Right.
And it goes on. If you think worrying about being laid off is stressful, try worrying about your own business failing, watching your life savings disappear, working around the clock only to have no income coming in. So that's always the big question when people open a business, the fear, not knowing what's going to happen. Even with franchising, it's not always going to, you know, there's no guarantee it's going to take off right away. But as we've discussed for the last 4 years, always your chance is much higher. Going with a proven model and franchise to be profitable quicker, to have a higher chance of success. Because you can be your own boss, and that's the big thing, but thinking you don't have to answer to anyone is not necessarily true. The Young Store is thoroughly evaluated and inspected once a month for up to 4 hours by one of Subway's corporate representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that must be a little difficult, but, you know, you want that, though. I guess you want the franchise. You'd rather have that situation of just a lot of contact and overview by the franchise than the other way around.
Exactly.
He says now the store's doing well. It's bringing in money. The Youngs are happy. All the hard work and the risk they took is paying off. The Subway brand is booming. The ads are always on TV. That's what they like about what's going on with the franchise and why they chose the franchise. He goes, I pay a lot for advertising, 4.5 cents out of every dollar, but I can never reach that kind of national recognition on my own. It helps bring people in, he says.
It's true, here he is in New York, and even if, someone from California, is there visiting his particular area, everybody knows Subway, you know what I mean? So
right.
It's not like it's a new concept or anything like that. So, yeah, absolutely.
And George Trakas, master franchisee of Frozen yogurt chain, who attests to the hard work, immense risk, but possible handsome rewards of franchising. He says, if you think you're going to own a business, then go fishing every day, that's not going to happen. On the contrary, you will work as harder than you ever did, but you do have more control, and every victory accrues on your own bottom line rather than going to make other people richer.
So I brought up a good point. It's a great article, because, again, you and I are very pro-franchising. But I think one of the things, one of the common messages of our show is it's definitely not for everybody. And the first year, I don't want to say it could be a living hell, but it's tough, and we've heard those stories. And this guy is saying here he is working 80 hours a week. Maybe he was working 50 in the other place he was working. I think you mentioned Colorforms, and Subway, by the way, is one of the top franchises here in the United States. So, what does that say to you? It's a lot of work. It's not going to be easy, and there are going to be pressures, that's for sure.
George Trakos, again, a master franchisee of yogurt franchise, goes, we've had a lot of inquiries from people who have been downsized, out of jobs, or bought out into early retirement. They say, I have a chunk of change. But I'm not ready to retire. They want a business, but they don't want to run the risk of inventing their own model, so they pay for the right to use a brand in a system that's already figured out.
And we've seen that, too, though. I think one of the articles you were discussing, it was like a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, that it seems like a lot of the older generation is getting into franchising or owning their own business today as well. I think we started with the number like 55 years old and up. We've seen an increase. In fact, I think that was one of Scott Shane's articles or most recent articles, talking about the older generations getting into owning their own business, or we're starting to see that trend because they're simply not ready to retire, 55, 60 years old, it's still pretty young today if you think about it. There's a lot of time left to do a lot of great things, so.
Right.
Absolutely.
Here's something, Marty, through the Kansas City Star, talking about older people getting into franchising. Here's an article about women getting into franchising. This is by Demetra Navab Telegani. More and more women are realizing that franchising can earn them some serious cash as well as allow them the flexibility to spend more time with their families. She says, when I was first told some moms that I was writing an article about the top five low-cost franchises, the first thing they all wanted to know was what was the most financially successful. So she did some research online, was surprised by the sheer volume of information out there on franchises. But where was a woman or mother to begin? With over 3,000 companies licensing franchises across 75 industries, how can you narrow your choice and seek out the best company for you? So why are so many women jumping on the franchise bandwagon? Because more and more women are realizing that franchising can earn them some serious cash as well as allow them the flexibility to spend more time with their families. Perhaps the biggest benefit of owning a franchise is that you can own a business that is already established, has market and brand recognition, especially if you pick a national franchise. So you don't have to start from scratch. The franchisor will typically provide you with support, training, marketing. But before you jump in, you have to do your due diligence, something we're always, have mentioned in detail numerous times. Make sure you carefully research a company's track record and definitely talk with other franchise owners, get their feedback and testimonials. Also, possible, go and see these people in person. And I guess they list a few franchises. They mention H&R Block, world's largest tax preparation filing business. Startup costs on that are in the 25 to 85 range. Kumon Math and Reading Centers was another one they mentioned. Was started 50 years ago. They discuss here a franchise called Jazzercise.
Heard of them,
don't know too much. It would be nice to maybe have a franchise like that on the show.
Yeah, one of my neighbors, actually, you mentioned Kumon, her brother, she just mentioned it to me this weekend, just purchased a Kumon franchise opportunity. I guess apparently he's been researching a while. I said, why didn't you, you know, have him call me? But, you know, he seems like he did his due diligence. I mean, it took a long time to make that decision, but it's interesting. The one thing about, you know, women, though, going into their own franchise, too, is, you know, some of these, as you mentioned, Don, are very demanding, too, though. I mean, if a woman goes into, let's take that scenario that you referenced before, Subway, you know, and they want to spend more time with their family, she would be someone who is very frustrated. I mean, again, working 70, 80 hours a week. You know,
right.
There are franchise opportunities that provide you with the opportunity of working for home or sometimes a 9-to-5 kind of opportunity, whatever that may be. I mean, and that's one
right.
of the questions that you have to ask yourself first. Why am I doing this? You know, why am I getting into this? If it's to spend more time with your family and you get into a Subway, well, again, your first year, you know, you're going to be spinning your wheels because you're not going to be home very much.
Right.
So that's important to know, too.
And the final two franchises they mention are RE/MAX International, obviously a real estate franchise, and also Merrymaids, the largest home cleaning franchise network in the world.
Right. You have to remember, I mean, when you get into something like a Merrymaids, too, I mean, you don't necessarily, you're the person cleaning the homes either, you know what I
right.
mean? You're hiring to do those things. It's the same thing with senior care. And when we had, OxyFresh on? It's about
carpet
a month
cleaning,
ago.
Yeah.
That gentleman, I mean, he got into it with no intention of actually cleaning carpets, but to hire people that did the job for him, you know, and he's doing very well, so.
Right, good point. So, you know, again, this is one woman's opinion. We're not saying these are the top five, but these are established franchises that have been doing pretty well.
Yeah, and they are. Yeah. She mentioned some pretty good names there, you know, and you wonder sometimes how they come up with these things. And it's amazing when you see the numbers, too, isn't it? You know, she mentioned, 3,000 different franchise opportunities, 75
right.
different industries. You see all sorts of numbers, don't you? You know,
yeah.
a lot of times we'll see
right.
2,500 at 80 industries or 85 industries. So
right.
I don't think we have one set number defined just yet, you know. So that's a great article. Is there anything else? Or
From the Wall Street Journal. Here's something very interesting, Marty. Franchisees were employees, not contractors, by Richard Gibson. A court case set for trial coming up soon has set off alarms in the U.S. franchising industry as it challenges the long-held notion that franchisees are independent business people, not employees. The case involves Coverall North America, a commercial cleaning franchise based in Florida, which was sued back in fall of 2007 by franchisees who contend they deserve minimum wage, overtime pay, and other benefits of employment. This is pretty incredible. Franchising
wow.
legal experts have been closely watching the case since March, when a judge in a federal district in Boston found that Coverall's franchisees are essentially workers who pay a franchise fee to perform the company's core business, which is cleaning buildings. Coverall mm-hmm. fails to establish that the franchisees are independent contractors, this judge, William Young, wrote in his opinion, finding that the company had violated Massachusetts employment law. The ruling,
wow.
if allowed to stand, could force some franchises to reclassify independent franchisees as employees, legal experts say. That would mean franchises would have to pay prevailing wages, match Social Security and Medicare contributions, extend workers' compensation, provide other benefits. The trial will determine whether the company committed unfair and deceptive business practices and also misclassified Coverall franchisees as independent contractors in other states, says Shannon Liss Reardon, the plaintiff's lead attorney. To be sure, the Coverall case involves allegations that, if proven, would set it apart from most franchises. The plaintiffs, described in court papers as mainly immigrants with little to no fluency in English, contend they were misled into paying a franchise fee as high as $30,000 to win cleaning jobs. Coverall has denied the claims, said an appeal depends on the trial's outcome. So, I mean, I'd really be shocked if something like this really came into play in the franchise industry. But I guess this is probably an isolated case for this specific franchise who maybe, you know,
mm-hmm.
depending on how their franchise agreement was set up or worded or whatever.
Right.
It should be interesting to see what the ruling is on this.
Yeah, and I can understand why everyone's watching that, because what will happen, Don, is it will set, I guess, a precedent, right, for other franchisors, like you said.
Right.
you know, and it could really impact the whole country. So, I mean, I can understand why. We're definitely going to have to keep our eye on this one and watch to see what happens. This is the first time I'm hearing about this, you know. I haven't heard about this topic before, but that's fascinating. Wow.
Yeah, I was a little shocked when I was reading it. Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, that's incredible.
Something. So, anyway, as your guest is called, Yen has called in, Don. So, why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Yen Young, the CEO and co-founder of How Do You Roll, and How Do You Roll, an aggressively expanding fast casual sushi franchise based in Austin, Texas, is expecting more than 10 locations open by the end of 2010. Hey, Yen, how are you today?
Good. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning, and joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say hello to Yen.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on, Yen. We look forward to hearing all about your franchise and, your future success. It sounds like things are going pretty well for you.
Yeah. We just started franchising in January, and we've already got two multi-unit franchisees in line, and so we will have, including our two corporate stores, a total of 9 stores. So we're excited.
Wow. Great.
That's fantastic. And I'm a big sushi fan, yeah. And Don's wife is also a big sushi fan, and my wife is a big sushi fan. So it's just wonderful. We usually eat it probably like about maybe once or twice a week. So just very big fans. So,
wow.
What were you doing before starting How Do You Roll, Yen? I know you have an interesting background.
Yeah, I actually was a CFP, board certified financial planner. I had my own wealth management firm for 14 years. And was very successful at it, but this opportunity came along, and I just felt like, wow, I'm shocked that this market hasn't been explored and done well. So that's why I decided to give up that career and switch over to this one.
It's true. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of sushi franchises, you know. I think the first time I heard that, you know, there was a sushi franchise, I was a little surprised, you know. But you're right, it makes sense. I mean, it just seems like, you know, America has certainly embraced sushi, so it is kind of interesting.
Yeah, so sushi is a very big growing market, and I think especially with the younger generation, it's going to be a great, healthy alternative.
That's true.
What was surprising to me coming into this industry was that there was nobody filling what I call the middle market. It seems like the only options people had were, number one, a high-end sushi place where you had to smell right, dress right, look right before you were allowed in. Or it was grocery stores that were pre-made, you know, put in there, and the quality was just a lot lower. There was nobody really serving that in-between market, which is what we're after.
That's true. That's an interesting point.
So your background, Yen, and having your own wealth management company, any background in food at all? I mean, what brought you to decide on this?
Well, I've come full circle. My brother and I are co-founders of How Do You Roll, and we both grew up in the restaurant business. Our parents owned Chinese restaurants when we were growing up, and so we both worked in there, whether it was in the back end in the kitchen or the front end or managing it. We were always involved. Then I went to school and said, I'm never going to own a restaurant and never work with family again.
That's funny.
God makes a liar out of you sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I'm. I mentioned that question. I thought maybe to have some type of background in food to have the confidence to move forward in doing this, unless you have some type of partner really has that type of background. So, you know, like when you have a investor prospect, a franchisee, and who has an interest in How Do You Roll, like how do you explain the franchise system to them?
Well, the franchise system is fairly simple. We only specialize in really one product, and we only do what we call maki rolls. Maki is a Japanese word for roll. We don't do a lot of the sashimi. We don't do the nigiri. We don't do anything. We only focus on just sushi rolls because 85% of the sushi market is sushi rolls itself. And so what we basically have done is taken that concept of the roll and turned it into a, for lack of better analogy, but like a Chipotle or a Subway line, so that we can actually have people that are not sushi chefs be able to still create a fantastic high-quality roll for the customer in a matter of a minute, 2 minutes at a time. So we've broken it down into a system so that anyone can get into the sushi business, not just people that are already familiar with it. Today, all sushi restaurants are predominantly owned by the Asian people. And so we've changed that to where if you buy into our franchise, it doesn't matter if you're Asian or not. This is open to everybody because we have systems to help you through it so that all the skill sets are there, but it's simplified so that anyone can actually do this process.
Wow, interesting. Do you envision a certain type of location? What kind of location would work best for this kind of franchise opportunity in?
We're looking at several different types of locations. One is what we call the inline storefront, where you're in a shopping center, high traffic, high volume, foot traffic, that type of thing. The other place that works very well for our concept is going to be in the food courts, whether it's in the mall or the airports.
That's what I was thinking.
Both of those are very, very good spots for us.
So the fact that you're so niche in food, I guess that gives you the confidence that you can just really compete going into a food court with a bunch of other food concepts. The customer has a lot to choose from, or even in an airport, I guess, you've done your marketing studies and just feel that this is a real need and real niche, food business needed.
Absolutely. If you look at food courts in general, there aren't a lot of what I consider healthy, fresh options. There seems to be a little bit more move towards that market of fast cash or healthy, but it's really more along salads and sandwiches. Sushi has not been able to get itself into that market, and that's where we're coming in. If you look at the general, breakdown of the options that are available in the fast food side, or quick service, you're really talking about the healthy choices are going to be your sandwich or salads, again, whether it's in a food court or an inline store. So we feel like we definitely can fit into that market very, very well.
That's
great.
Who gets credit for the name, Yen? Is it you or your brother? it's a pretty clever name.
I will take credit for that because I did come up with How Do You Roll.
it's a very clever name, and it does kind of indicate that it is a sushi place, So I just thought it was very clever when I heard the name. It's always like great stories sometimes when you hear that how the founder came up with the name,
You beat me to it, Marty. That's usually the question I ask.
Yeah, well, that's why I stole it from you, Don. So. Has technology played a role in this kind of franchise yet? I mean, again, it sounds like it's a pretty simple concept, but how do you guys use technology?
Technology has been a big part of it. I think that were 10, 15 years back, we wouldn't be able to do this concept at all. It wouldn't even exist. We actually have 4 pieces of specialty equipment that we ship from Japan in order to make our process and our speed the way where it's supposed to be. If you look at a typical sushi chef making sushi rolls, they will take anywhere from a simple roll 5 to 6 minutes to a more complex roll of about 10-15 minutes. We are able to do that process with technology in 1 to maximum 3 minutes.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, so big difference.
I mean, you guys might actually have a drive-through one day. it's amazing how quick
the drive-through concept. Yeah, we thought about the drive-through concept, except that we are very big on how do you roll, so you get to see all the ingredients,
so you get to
pick all the ingredients.
It.
Yeah.
So it's an experience as well, kind of like we call like a Starbucks like an experience. But you're right.
Just that's exactly right.
Actually made, so. It is fascinating. I know this industry is huge, Yen. Are there any numbers, up-to-date numbers? Sushi has certainly grown in this country, over the last decade.
Yeah, so in terms of market share, the sushi actually is still small relative to if you compared it to burger joints, pizza, though Mexican, even Tex-Mex is a lot bigger market. So when you look at sushi, it's still, at this point, still kind of breaking into the bigger market, becoming more mainstream. So the food industry from sushi perspective is only like 5-10% of the entire market. So relatively small. The predominant ones are still all your burgers and your pizzas and your Mexican food and even Chinese food. But sushi itself is a small market, which actually, from our perspective, presents a huge opportunity because where it's really growing is in the high school, college, young working professionals market, which tells us that that's where the trend is going. And I think that, over the next 5-10 years, sushi will become a mainstream food item, hopefully with our help.
Right. I would agree with you. And it's true, something you were saying, Yen, is, and I was probably thinking, because I knew you guys were coming on the show, When we were out this weekend, my wife and I, we actually had sushi. We were in it's a supermarket in our area that we go to, and it's not as good as the upscale place that we normally have sushi. But you're right, you do feel so much better when you eat that for lunch versus getting, like, you know, something fried or a burger or whatever it may be, you know.
Yeah.
It really is that nice, healthy alternative where we didn't actually feel tired after we had
lunch.
That's right. You know, which is...
Yeah, it's much lighter, less grease, you know, less cooking process to it, so it makes a big difference.
So besides, Jen, the fact that it's healthy, it's sushi, it's you know, it's a niche type, I mean, you know, I guess you must have other reasons why you think that you can franchise the concept. Because of the experience and people, you know, the how do you roll concept, does that cut down on the overhead for... You know, someone looking to get into this is how's the overhead compared to your typical type of you know, say a food business or restaurant?
Well, a couple of different things. One is the footprint of our stores is very much a fast cash, so it's only 1,800 to 2,000 square feet on average, and we can even get that smaller to 600 for a food court. So, footprint number one is a lot smaller. Typically, if you're going to build a Japanese, you know, high-end sushi restaurant, you're talking about an investment of minimum $500,000 on up. Most of them cost, on average, about $1 million to build. Our average build-out is about $200,000 to $250,000, which is significantly less than what you see on the high end. So that's number one in the terms of cost. Number two is the fact that we don't have to hire sushi chefs. They are artists. They cost a lot of money. My brother is a sushi chef. He was a head chef in Houston for many, many years. We know how much we have to pay those people. We've broken it down into a system where $7, $8, $9 an hour people handle all those things for us so that we don't have to spend that much on labor. No wait staff, that helps. You know, we don't have to buy any of the fancy dishes and plates and all that. So we've changed that concept to much more affordable, if you will, to start a business in the sushi industry.
Yes, that's why what I mean. That's why I asked that question. I think that's key to someone like you said. You don't have to be Asian to open up this type of franchise, and people are looking for nice investment opportunities and nice, simple. I guess that's why you thought it was perfect for a franchise. Also, the process, you know, the daily operations of the business. So,
and also, you know, consider our price point on our menu. The average sushi roll, if you went to a restaurant, probably cost, you know, a California roll might, which is as basic as you can get, probably cost about $6. And then on up to fancier, you know, specialty rolls, as they call them, $15. Well, we use double the ingredients that they use, so you're getting a full meal out of it, and we're only charging half the price. So our price point on average for a sushi roll is $6 to $8 for 10-piece, which is double the amount of what you get at a regular sushi restaurant, because they use half sheets, we use full sheets. So that's another big distinction as well.
Yeah,
wow,
good.
That's great.
And what are the type of franchisees you're looking for? Any specific characteristics or background with some
of these? Yeah, very much so. What we're looking for is maybe a little bit unique. Obviously, you have to have the financials. You need to have at least $150,000 liquid capital, and then the ability to borrow or get additional capital to finish the build-out.
Right.
But more importantly, when we started this company, my brother and I sat down and I told him, you know, hey, I'm not going to do this unless we're doing something that makes the world better. And that actually became our corporate mission. It's to make the world better one stomach at a time. And so everything we do around...
Yeah.
Thanks. Everything we do around that is the question of, does that make the world better? And so when we look for franchisees, we're really looking for certain core values from them. Of course, high integrity. We want to make sure that they're quality people, strong work ethic, because it does take some work to do this. They're coachable, because with franchise systems, they have to be able to follow the system. They have good emotional competence, not just IQ, but EQ. And then finally, they believe in betterment. They want to make the world better. And the combination of those five core values is what we're testing for or looking for all the time.
I like that. Those are great reasons.
Very spot on, isn't it? Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah, do we have to take a quick break? Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a great show today. We're meeting with Ken Young, CEO and co-founder of How Do You Roll, an aggressively expanding fast casual sushi franchise based in Austin, Texas. And they're expecting more than 10 locations open by the end of the year 2010. And Don, I think you're up.
Yeah, and maybe talk to us about the training process and how you're going to, you know, whoop these people into shape to open up and operate.
Our training process is fairly lengthy. It's a total of 21 days. It's broken up into 3 days at the corporate headquarters to learn a lot about our customer philosophies, our corporate philosophies, and what the concept is all about. Then they actually will do 2 full weeks of training on site at one of our corporate stores to learn everything from the preparation to the actual positions that we've broken down, everything from the roller to the cashier to the manager. Then after that, we do 5 days on site with them, 3 days before they open to make sure all their staff and everybody's trained and up and ready. The day of grand opening, we're there with them. And then the day after grand opening, we're there with them. So it's fairly lengthy altogether to make sure that they're going to be successful, because for us, that's really the true testament of why you do a franchise, is the success of the franchisee.
I guess that's something that'll always be going on. with your franchisees. There's always going to be some new things. So training is an ongoing process, I guess, with
That's correct.
Especially your type of business, yeah.
Yeah, and we require a minimum of 5 days additional training per year that they do. So we want to definitely stay ahead of the game and on top of the markets and the market trends.
Good.
Interesting. And what will a typical day be like for franchisees? Yeah, and if you were to describe that, like, I mean, like from the moment, like, you should open the store till the time you get home, what's that like?
It's you know, for a franchisee, it's key that they have a good management team for themselves. They have the right manager and assistant manager, making sure that, you know, they come in, the food is prepped. A lot of our food is done fresh, so there is some daily prep that they have to do, just making sure that that's being done, making sure their petty cash is in order, ready to open, their POS system is ready to rock and roll. And then running through the days and meeting with their people and their staff and making sure that business is flowing. So it's not a very strenuous type job, but it is definitely being a business owner and having that mentality of, you know, investing in the people, investing in the customers, and investing in the store. That's really the mentality that they have to have on a day-to-day basis.
That's interesting. And the majority of our listeners, Yan, are aspiring, we call them like franchisepreneurs, looking to buy a franchise. What advice would you give to them in their quest to buy a franchise?
I think the couple of pieces. One is make sure you have a passion for the business that you choose. If you're just looking to have any old business, well, there's so many choices already. There's no need to do something you just don't feel passionate about. So for our franchise, you know, if you don't even like sushi yourself, this is probably not the right type of business for you. We want people who are passionate about what they do, because man, we just get excited about talking about salmon and tuna and you know, spicy mayo and stuff like that. And you really, you know, that's going to be a tough business for you if you don't like what you do. The other part of it is being a franchisepreneur is such a unique position on its own. It's the cross between an entrepreneur and somebody that really likes to have systems put in place for them and how well they can execute those systems. I do the analogy of it's really the quarterback of the team, somebody that wants to run a system that the coach has put in place for them, but they're great at execution and they're great at you know, making the plays and making the things happen. And that's what a franchisepreneur is really all about.
Yeah, I like that analogy. I mean, it does. It shows an appreciation for franchising because, you know, and we've referenced a lot of cases, you know, over the years, yeah, and of people getting into franchising that probably never should have got into it because they were just too entrepreneurial. You know, they wanted
to
constantly reinvent the wheel, and that doesn't have to be done in this particular case, you know. So I think that's a great analogy, is having that appreciation and referring to them as a quarterback. You know, it's interesting.
I think you're going to get interest, Yan, from other franchisees, multi-unit owners who want to diversify their brand and do something else. But, you know, whether it's that type of investor or the husband and wife just looking to open up one location, I guess, you know, you'll accept, if approved, those type of buyers, right?
Oh, absolutely. We do both single-unit and multi-unit. So both of those options are available. And we don't really have a preference between one or the other. We just want people who are passionate about, really, for lack of better words, Americanizing sushi with our beef and chicken options in there as well.
And I think with people trying to lease space, it's probably at least the next year or two where it's probably going to be some pretty good bargains on, you're working with landlords and people leasing space. So that's a big, nice timing of you starting this and moving forward with the health part of it, with the fact that it's sushi, with how you have your system, and then making the overhead lower on people leasing space.
Yeah, we're finding that the real estate market is just absolutely fabulous timing for us. When we actually started our first corporate store, it was just the opposite. The pendulum was completely on the other side, and landlords didn't negotiate. They didn't give you any TI money. They were basically a take-it-or-leave-it type attitude, whereas now what we're finding with our franchisees as we're looking for real estate for them, it's completely a different field. These landlords are like, hey, what do I need to do to get you in here? So I think the timing and the opportunity is there. It won't last forever, but I think we still got a few good years there for the real estate market.
You're right, that's what I feel also.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your plans for the future yet? I mean, how big would you guys like to get? I know for 2010 you're looking at like around the 10 number, but you know, like how about like where do you see yourself like maybe 5 years down the road?
Our corporate goals are to have 100 stores in process in 5 years. But we always said that when we do this, we're going to do it right. So we don't want to grow so fast that we can't take care of our franchisees. And so we felt like if we did about, you know, 10 the first year to get our systems down, and then 20 to 25 the following year, following 4 years really, to get to 100 units, that's manageable for us. And that's something that we want to make sure that we do well. I don't want to be creating a brand where we you know, sell 100 units in a year, but 50 of them fail the following year.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense to us. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great plan. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? And are there any websites they can go to, any numbers they can call?
Yeah, absolutely. The easiest way to get us is if you're interested in a franchise, is just go straight to our website at howdoyouroll.com, all spelled out, one word. Yeah, howdoyouroll.com. And there's a section there for franchisees and a section for people who are interested. So if they click it and fill out the little website piece, then they'll be able to get that information to us.
That's fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Yen. You've been a fantastic guest. And then Don and I will be keeping our eye out for you guys, and then we'd like to invite you back next year as you guys continue to grow.
Well, great. Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks
so
much,
Yen.
Have
good
a great
luck.
Day today.
All right. You guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Yen. Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, interesting. His background. I've got to ask him what his family feels about what he's doing. But I'm sure they're backing
sure.
him.
That's a good question.
It seems like he knows what he's doing. I feel good about the success of this franchise.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, again, being a fan of sushi, I mean, he really described it to a T. You know, I mean, there's no middle ground on. I mean, when you're like sushi, you know, I mean, we have this really upscale place in Easton, Pennsylvania, and we don't go that often because typically it costs a lot of money to go. You know,
right.
Or we can go to our local supermarket and get sushi there, but it's just two different extremes, you know. There's that.
Right.
There's no middle ground, you know. So it just makes so much sense, and just I like how he answered the technology question. You know, I think these guys are going to be big. You know, it's great. I was a little curious at first. How do you franchise sushi? But he now I understand. You know.
Right.
So I thought he did a great job. So. But good job on segment one today, Don. And again, for our listeners, we'll be speaking to Beef O'Brady's next week, Don. So,
right.
The food shows all often kill me. You know, I'm usually starving by this
right.
time. You know, so it's a little tough. But for our listeners, thanks for listening. And go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. And I'll be speaking to you next Thursday, Don, for another great show.
Great, Marty. Take care.
Take care, Don. Thanks, everyone, for listening.